Well, it's good to be back with y'all. We enjoyed some very precious family time with our kids while on vacation, some of our kids in Maryland, some of our kids in Tennessee, new grandchildren, and just very, very appreciative time. As we continue our series on the 23rd Psalm and how God heals some of our hurts, I just want to kind of preface this by letting us know that today I will be dealing with some sensitive topics, and I will be wording these as well as I can, but there are some sensitive topics we're going to be dealing with. One of the things I've always appreciated about my wife is that she's been very involved in whatever aspect of ministry that we've been at. For example, about 15 years ago, my wife and I were head of a week of high school camp, and we ended up also being family group leaders, which meant we took care of a small group of teenagers that week. And as it turns out, for that particular week, our family group was 9 females and no males. So I was really glad that Donna was on board that particular week. As the week progressed, the girls began to open up and share their life stories with us. Some were wonderful, but some were really hard to listen to. One of the young ladies told us, and the group, of how her father had done things in a sexual way to her that no man should ever do to any woman, much less a father to his own daughter. Another one of the girls talked about how she had been physically abused by her father countless times, even to the point where there would be times when he would just be walking by her and he would just take her head and slam it into a door. The fathers had, by that time, both been taken care of legally and put away in the judicial system. But no amount of, quote, justice could heal the physical and emotional trauma that these girls had experienced in their short life on this earth. On the Friday night of camp, our speaker, one of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard, the topic was When Hell is Unleashed. And he spoke about the evil that people inflict upon one another in our world today. And one example that he referred to was the sexual and physical abuse that one out of every 4 women in our nation experience today. As he began to speak on that particular topic, those 2 girls began reliving their experiences all over again, to the point where in the midst of hundreds of teens, they were beginning to break down and cry, and Donna and I had to take them outside and enter into emergency crisis counseling with them. And in their tears and in their pain, the girls kept asking questions like, how long do I have to hurt like this? How can God ever heal me and make me whole again? Well, because we live in an imperfect world filled with imperfect people who have been given free will, one of the unfortunate realities of life on this earth is that all of us are going to experience pain and heartache and hurt at the hands of other people. Not because we deserve it, but simply because there are evil people in this world. Most of the pain that we will experience in life, most of the hurt we dealt with a few weeks ago in our study of Psalm 23, chapter 23:5, where we saw that our hurts are small enough that God can deal with them relatively quickly when we turn to His Holy Spirit and allow His Holy Spirit and His Word to work within our life. But there are times when we experience pain and hurt that is so deep in our lives that just like those high school girls at camp, we wonder if our lives are ever going to be the same again. We wonder if we'll ever be able to love again. We wonder if we'll ever be able to feel good about ourselves again. That pain might be caused by something like what those two young ladies experienced. It might be caused by the death of someone close to us, so close that we wonder if we can ever find wholeness again. It might be through slander or gossip that ruins our lives. It may be when someone we dearly love out of the blue replaces us with someone new to love. Maybe it's when our job was lost and our life just spiraled downward from there. But whatever the reason, the reality is pain is still pain. Heartache is still heartache. And chances are all of us in this room have been hurt deeply like that at some time in our life. And if not, we will be. Whenever we experience that type of deep pain in our lives, we humans tend to do one of two things. We tend to turn away from God or turn towards God. We either blame God for the problems that we are experiencing, or we seek His counsel for what we're going through. We either let our pain break our faith or forge our faith into something stronger. Now notice what David did in Psalm 23:5. He said these words, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." Several weeks we found out that the anointing of the oil, there's actually three uses that a shepherd would have with oil on his sheep. And the first two were when he would anoint the head of the oil so that the sheep would not have the problems with the nose flies that we talked about or the little snakes that would pop out of the ground. Those are two of the things that the shepherd could take care of relatively easy through this oil that is being referred to. But the third way a shepherd used the oil was when an animal might attack one of his sheep, when a bear claw might rip open a sheep and the wounds would be extremely deep, and he would take that ointment and he would apply it to the sheep just like we would use antibiotic ointment today, and would begin to heal that sheep from deep within, so to speak. In like manner, Psalm 147:3 says, "God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds." I like that verse because it tells me that while a doctor can heal our physical bodies, only God can heal our broken heart. There are a type of bandage upon our spirit and our soul that only God above, who designed us, who created us, and knows exactly what we are going through, only He can heal that pain. And how does He do so? In terms of the insert, I want us to note that there are four ways, four bandages, that God heals us from deep within to heal our broken hearts. The first, He uses the bandage of prayer. James 5:13 says, "Is any of you in trouble, he should pray." Maybe one of the most important ways that God gave us the gift of prayer is so that we can go to Him personally and pour out to Him the hurt that we are experiencing when there are times that we do not feel that we can share that with any person on this earth. For example, that's one reason why I love the honesty of the Psalms. Time after time after time, you see David going to God and he is pouring out his emotions and his pain and his hurt. He is screaming with anger at God and telling God how unfair he is. He is crying with pain. He is wounded. He is grieving. Every time he experiences these deep, hurtful emotions, he pours them out on God. How does God react? He's able to absorb all that pain. And that's why when I go through the Psalms, if you would go through my Bible, you have noticed I've circled two words in the Psalms. Each of them are just three letters long. But to me, they're the most important words in the book of Psalms. Because almost every time when David pours out his pain, he invariably ends up his prayers in one of these two words. Psalm 3:3. But you are a shield around me. I'm experiencing all this pain and all this hurt, but you are my shield. Psalm 5:7. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Spread your protection over them. Psalm 13:5. But no matter what's happened to me, God, but I trust in your unfailing love. Psalm 22:3. Again, pouring out his pain to God, and he ends the psalm with, yet you sit enthroned, yet you still reign in spite of my hurt. I love David's example because it teaches us that it's okay to go to our God in prayer when we're hurting. It's okay to pour out our pain and our hurt and our grief and our loss on a Father who understands. Because when we do, we'll discover, like David did, that our God is big enough to absorb even our harshest language, even our deepest hurts, and remind us that He is still there, that He still loves, He still cares, and He will still be walking with us, no matter what pain we share. That's when our healing begins. But as important as it is to turn to God, that's not enough for you and I to be healed of a broken heart. That's why God also uses the bandage of Christian fellowship to heal us. Perhaps one of the most powerful verses in the New Testament, and one of the ones that is least practiced by Christians, is Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. One of the realities of the church is that we are not just a church. We are also called a body of believers. We're called a family. And one of the ways that God has designed us is that we are to be part of those who take care of us. Yet the world says we should do just the opposite. We should stand on our own two feet. We should be able to take care of ourselves. We should be able to go on no matter what the hurt. And so often people adopt the way of the world, and when they've experienced deep pain, they isolate themselves and they pull away from others and they think, I'm the only one experiencing this. And if someone knew what I've gone through, if someone knew what's happened to me, they would feel so ashamed of me. And so they carry all that hurt and all that pain by themselves. But the beauty of the body of Christ is that when we find a group of brothers and sisters who love us, and we dare to open up our hearts, and we dare to share our pain with them, it is there that we find acceptance and comfort and care. It's there that we find brothers and sisters who probably have also been hurt in similar ways and who understand our pain and who are willing to walk by us step by step. Now, we still have to handle our own pain, but we do so with the help of someone who's right there, who can pray with us and for us because they know what's happening. Because maybe for the first time in our lives, we're understanding what it's like to be unconditionally loved by a family. Maybe not by our nuclear family that we grew up in, but by the family of Christ that we've been adopted. The third thing that God uses to heal our broken hearts is the bandage of worship. Now, I can't scientifically explain this in any way, but the scriptures show us that there is healing power in prayer and praise. For example, in Psalm 57, King Saul turns on David and tries to kill him. David is forced to flee the city. He loses everything. His reputation, his possessions, his job, his family. The new king even takes David's wives out in public and sexually takes each one of them to show the crowd that David is no longer king. David was reduced to hiding in a cave with enemies seeking him. And I want you to listen to what David writes at that moment and try to sense what he is feeling in his life. Psalm 57, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. We sang a song about that as well this morning. Verse 4, I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongue are sharp swords. Verse 6, they spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. Do you sense the pain that David is going through? Do you sense the lowness, the depression, the hurt? And notice what he chooses to do in the midst of all that pain. Again, Psalm 57, verse 5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Be exalted, O God, above my pain. Be exalted, O God, above my enemies. Be exalted, O God, above my circumstances. Let your glory be over all the earth. And then in verse 9, he begins to close, I will praise you, O Lord, among the heavens. Think about that. All that David is going through, and he says, the result, I will praise you. And that's not enough. David goes on to say, I will sing of your love among the peoples, for great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. You would have think by that last verse that all was hunky-dory with David, that life was beautiful, that life was wonderful, and he was on the great mountain of a top of life. Those words of praise and worship were written in the midst. You and I may not be on the run like David was, but how often have we been hurting when we've come to church? And as the word started in a way that you and I cannot explain, you felt God reach out and touch your spirit, drawing you near, wrapping you in the arms of love, and all of a sudden you knew that things are okay. The problem hadn't changed, the pain was still there, but all of a sudden it was okay because you knew that God was right there with you and He would still be with you. Have you ever found yourself in worship, being convicted in a powerful way by the teaching of God's Word, as though it was God's way of saying, this whole message is designed just for you today? That's the way God uses worship to heal. And all of us have been there. The fourth way that God bandages our broken heart is through the bandage of ministry. Listen to how Paul explains this aspect of our healing in 2 Corinthians verses 1, 3 through 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with a comfort that we ourselves have received from God. Let me say this. God never wants you to experience the pain that you experience in this life. But God also promises that He will comfort and heal you through that pain And even more than that, as you begin to open up your life to others, as we begin to look around us, God says, I want to now use you as a minister of healing for those who are going through the same situation you are going through. You see, the worst thing that we can do in our pain is to not only turn away from God, but turn away from others. The best thing that we can do with our pain is to turn to God. And then after a period of time and comfort and healing, open up to others. And some way, again, I cannot scientifically explain it. As we minister God's comfort to others, He ministers His comfort to us yet all over again. And as we share our story, and as we share our hurt, there's no longer shame associated with it. But now there's relief because we know that we can assist another through their pain. It takes a lot to take that step of ministering to others. But when we do so, we can be God's healing agent that someone else needs in their time. Maybe that's because life isn't about us. Life is all about God and those around us. Maybe that's why the scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and then love others the same way. The love that we have received from God has never been meant to stay within us. But God wants it to go out to others. Here's one of the things that I want us to remember this morning. As great as God's healing power is, God is not content to merely heal us. He wants to overwhelmingly bless us in spite of our pain. That's what the words in Psalm 23:5, these three amazing words, teach us when David writes, my cup overflows. Now, for you and I, the word overflow is almost a negative word. The river's banks are overflowing, and we're thinking flood, da-da-da. But in the Middle East, water is so precious. It's mostly desert. And remember, David is writing these words in the Middle East context. And in the desert, when someone gives you a cup that's overflowing, they are wasting something that is precious. And you don't waste water in the desert unless you've got far more than you need. And that's why when the Bible writes about an overflowing cup, we interpret it in terms of negative because of we have so much. But in the scripture, when God speaks of an overflowing cup, it's always a symbol for total fulfillment and total satisfaction. It means I've got everything I need, and then some. There's a second image behind those words that I think is just beautiful. In the Middle East, there's a beautiful thing that I want to go to. Well, first of all, let me finish this thought on everything I need. David is trying to tell us that God is going to give us everything we need and then some. Now, why is that so important to know? Because the things that we need that only God can provide, I think we humans try to find them in sources other than God. For example, how many of us want to be loved unconditionally 24/7? Okay? How many of us want to receive absolute security in our life? Okay? How many of us want someone who will satisfy us 100% of the time? Okay? Now, what human on earth can do any of that? No one can. And so, David is trying to say, instead of looking to people to fill our deepest needs, let's learn to look to God to fill our deepest needs. And that's when we'll find the love and the security and the content and the satisfaction that our souls are yearning for. Because God is the one who created us. But when He does, what are our cups going to overflow with? Just real scripture look real quick. When God meets our needs, our cups or our lives are going to overflow with hope. Romans 15:13. God will help you overflow with hope in Him through the Holy Spirit's power within you. In other words, no matter what situation we face in life, no matter how much pain we have, when we turn to God, we'll overflow with hope. Because we know God's always there with us and for us. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, our lives are going to overflow with love. May the Lord make your love to grow and overflow. God is love. He gives us His unconditional love without measure. And how many of us have ever taught our kids, love is the one thing you can give away and never run out of? That's what God does. John 16:24, Jesus says our cups will overflow with joy. Ask anything using my name and you will receive, and your cup of joy will overflow. Can you imagine going from that depth of pain to hope and fulfillment and love and overflowing joy in your life? That's what God is saying can and will happen to us in this life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. How many of you realize that the word abundantly means overflowing? The idea that God says, I want you to experience life so much, so well, that it literally overflows out of you into everyone else around you. One other thought on the phrase, my cup overflows, I wanted to get to a few moments earlier. Have you ever gone to someone's house and wondered how long you should stay as a guest? Or have you ever had a guest overstay their welcome and you wonder, how do I politely ask this person to get out of my house? Well, the Middle East has a great custom. And it's all based on how a cup is filled. If you visit, at least back when the days of the Middle East of David, if you visited someone's house and you were a total stranger, the first thing they will do is offer you a cup of wine to drink, because it's usually better than the water. That's why they do that. And then they'll refill that cup for you to drink. As long as they keep refilling the cup, you're welcome to stay. But if the host wants you to leave, he doesn't refill the cup. That's his polite way of saying, you're done. But if the host pours the cup to overflowing, that's his way of saying, stay as long as you want. What does God say to us in Psalm 20? Thou preparest a table in the presence of my enemies, my cup overflows. Essentially, David is saying, as long as we have an enemy in our life, as long as we experience pain, no matter how much hurt we have, God says, I am there for you and I want to be there for you as long as it takes. Even if death ends our life on this earth, our cup overflows. When life hurts us and breaks us, when we're so full of pain that we think things are hopeless, that's when God says, turn to me in your pain. That's when He will heal us. That's when He will bless us in a way that we cannot even begin to imagine in the depths of our pain. And in the process, He will make us feel so special, so loved, so valued, that He will say in essence, you are welcome to stay by my side as long as you want. As long as you need my love, I am here for you. It's His way of saying, He will never turn us away.
He will never turn away from us.
Here in Psalm 23:5, David is writing these words in a shepherd's way of saying that God promises to give us the healing, the protection, the comfort, and the acceptance that all of us who have been wounded in this life are looking for. It doesn't matter whether those wounds come from our family, from our friends, from our enemies, from total strangers, or from life itself. God is saying, when life hurts you deeply, I am there for you. Let's pray. Father, in a world of evil, when things happen that we cannot explain, and our life is ripped apart, and our heart is broken and torn apart in a way that words will never describe, when we feel that pain and that hurt and that rejection to the depths of our core, and we wonder if we will ever be whole again, thank you for the words in Psalm 23. Thank you that we can turn to you, and even though it is difficult, that we can find healing in and through you. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your cup overflowing in our presence to remind us of who you are. Father, help us to love you. Even when we feel unloved, we ask in your precious name. We sang several hymns this morning. There's an old hymn whose lyrics are especially meaningful in light of the promise of Psalm 23:5. As we get ready to close the message, in lieu of a prayer, I'm going to ask Jeff to come forward at this point now. But in lieu of a prayer, I just want to lift these lyrics up to you. Go ahead, let's go ahead and stand, and I'll share these lyrics. And then if you have a decision to make, come forward during the singing of our invitation song. Here's the old hymn. It says, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up, and make me whole." If you have a decision to make, please come forward. Jeff? Yeah?